Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.
Let's talk television with Dom Corey. Hi, Dom.
Hi, Jesse.
Nice to see you. How's things?
Pretty good, thank you. How are you?
Really good. I was just telling you off air, my wife's away for school holidays at the moment with the kids, so I'm getting a lot of TV catch-up time, and I spent last night nostalgically looking at some favourite episodes from the past, the finale of Mad Men and also an episode of The Bear, which is, I reckon, is one of the only shows that I would love to watch again in its entirety. It was comfort TV viewing for me over the weekend.
I think I'm gearing up for a Mad Men rewatch. Mm. I've already gone through that once.
Looks pretty good.
Yeah.
Looks pretty good. I wasn't
Don
always...
Draper, a terrible person.
Yeah. The one thing about Mad Men, I wasn't always sure of the significance of what was going on. They would often have some puzzling little scene and someone would stare off wistfully and then the credits would roll and I think I was meant to get something out of that I didn't quite get.
Yeah, that creator was quite inscrutable and he was obsessive and weird about plot lines getting out. He wouldn't let them use any footage for the next week on bits. And
right.
So they'd have the next week ons on Mad Men were just an art form and that they were just complete nonsense, and they almost never referred to anything that actually happened. They're often clips from old episodes.
That's funny.
And yeah, anyway.
You've been watching something called Sugar.
Yeah, this is a new Apple TV Plus show starring Colin Farrell that sort of feels like it was made just for me.
Mm-hmm.
He's a private eye in Los Angeles, contemporary Los Angeles, and he takes a job from a Hollywood producer played by James Cromwell, who people might probably most remember as from Babe. And he was the bad guy in L.A. Confidential, a role which kind of informs his presence mm-hmm. here. And the thing I love most about this is that his character, Sugar, is obsessed with movies. And he's always talking about movies. And he's in a film noir story. He's a private eye looking for a missing woman. And he's talking about film noir movies the whole time. And they're intercutting clips from classic film noir movies that inform and enhance the situations he's in. So he'll go up to a door and not know who's on the other side of it and think about it and maybe get his gun ready. And then it'll cut to a shot of Burt Lancaster in the exact same situation.
Oh, wow.
And I was just like, wow, this is just not holding back in its unfettered love for all things film noir, private eye, classic Hollywood. It's also set in Hollywood and in the movie business. And something that I get really angry about, something that's always bothered me is when there's movies within TV shows or movies, you know, fake art.
Yeah.
And they almost never make an effort with stuff like that. They'll usually just go, oh, yeah, I'm going to see the new action movie called Action Dude or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're almost never movies that you can imagine existing. In this show, there's this whole dynasty of this three generations of this movie-making family. And you get glimpses and hints of what they've done, including like Golden Age movies. And they've made one and they're great and they make sense and they kind of fit into the world.
Yeah.
You can imagine this potentially being an actual film that existed.
Can I jump in here and say that I know it's not massively critically acclaimed, but my wife and I really love the TV show Nashville. And one of the things
Connie Britton.
Yeah. One of the things they did on Nashville was they employed T-Bone Burnett to write all the songs. So when someone said, hey, she's written a hit song, and you heard the song, you thought, yeah, that could be a hit.
Yeah, like Drive Shaft and Lost. Remember the band, the Oasis analog band and Lost?
No, I never saw Lost.
Anyway, yeah, songs is a whole other debate. Yeah. I'm less qualified to assess the legitimacy of fake movie songs. But
my point is you need to believe in this world. You need to believe that this art created in this world is having the effect that saying that it is.
Totally. I think the hardest version of that is when there's a stand-up comedian in a show or movie.
Yeah.
You have to show him doing stand-up.
Yeah.
And you can't just write stand-up as dialogue.
No.
It takes years to develop. And I don't think I've ever seen good fake stand-up.
No, what about Hacks? It's not bad.
Yeah. That probably gets closer than anything, but there's the the lead in that, the young woman, is a stand-up in real life. And, yeah, no, that's a good example. They put a lot more effort into it. But even again, I'm kind of like, why is everyone laughing at that? No one really would be.
Studio 60 in the Sunset Strip.
That's sort of an amazing example of how wrong it can go. There's not a single moment of that show that seemed like something that would exist. And within that show, there was a running thread about a skit called, or a sketch rather, as they point out the distinction in the show, about called Crazy Christians.
Yeah.
And it's like it's a controversial sketch from Studio 60. We never see it. We don't know what the content is. They're talking about like it's some big genius comedy thing. And you can just say that, but unless you've actually done it. Yeah. But anyway, Sugar's a great example. Not just that side, but just wallowing in the Los Angeles private eye cinematic tradition.
Yeah.
And there's a few other things going on in the show that I don't really want to talk about, but I think I highly recommend it. I've watched the whole thing. I loved it. Colin Farrell as a private eye, he's in such a great phase of his career. He's so relaxed. He's so effortless. And he's quite a virtuous character. He goes to the movies in this show. Mm. So rarely do people actually just go to the movies. And he – he's wonderful.
When I was a slightly weird teenager and my friends were at the beach, I was at home watching American TV on obscure Sky channels. So I was really into the Larry Sanders Show. And before the Larry Sanders Show was a show called Dream On.
Oh,
and I think this is a similar premise.
Funny, I've mentioned Dream On a lot in describing this show to people. Dream On, if people remember it, there was a sanitized, cut-down version of it on TV2. It was one of the first HBO shows where a guy who watched too much TV growing up, his thoughts were illustrated by black-and-white clips from old TV shows.
Yeah, yeah.
Fantastic concept, especially from a movie nerd. But because of all those clips, it's never been able to be syndicated.
Ah.
So because the rights...
It's been forgotten,
And
I wonder about the rights on this one, Sugar.
I thought a lot about Dream On. I mean, they've done all the rights. You know, nowadays, they make sure that, you can release this as a DVD in a separate universe if you want to. They literally mention in known and unknown universes in contract language now.
I know, but I've signed them.
Yeah, that's the right connection to make. I'm glad you mentioned that because very few people remember Dream On, and I was very fond of it. And it's not quite as peppered with clips as that, and it's not necessarily just about what's happening inside Colin Farrell's head, but just seeing these old film noirs show up, and I paused the credits at the end of every episode to see what they all were.
Awesome.
And people talk about sports and TV shows a lot. They hardly ever talk about movies, and it's just nice to see people talking about movies in a show.
Sugar, new on Apple TV Plus. Fallout, I've seen this one advertised on Prime Video. What's it all about?
This is a big, huge video game adaptation, very popular series of video games, which are post-apocalyptic video games about people emerging from bunkers hundreds of years after the bombs dropped and dealing with a wasteland, which is a very familiar environment in both movies, TV shows, and video games, especially nowadays. And what Fallout feels to me like is a very much a post-Last of Us video game adaptation, in that Last of Us showed that if you actually lean into what makes a game work, you can make a good TV show. For a long time, when they adapted video games, Hollywood had this kind of patronizing attitude towards them. They said, no, well, that's your video game. We're going to do a movie here. Yeah. We're serious business.
Yeah. But we're going to treat you as the inspiration material, but we're going to create something completely different in our own genre. Yeah.
Exactly. And Last of Us showed that if you actually use the games, you can do something pretty cool. And I was amazed by how faithful Fallout was to the games, mostly in terms of its tone and its branding. I dabble.
Oh.
I played Fallout 4, which I don't think is the second to most recent Fallout game. Its whole approach to the post-apocalyptic world in those games is sardonic. It's got branding. There's this little character who kind of looks like Frosty Boy. Mm-hmm. And that's carried over into the show. There's this, that's kind of the show's main point of difference from other post-apocalyptic shows, is that the sense of irony and humor going on here. And I've watched about half of the series, and it's very expensive looking, very impressive to look at. And a lot of the character interactions feel like they're straight out of the game. I was quite amazed by that. And it's sort of a little bit inconsistent with its pacing and its tone, but I'm definitely enjoying it. Walton Goggins, who's one of my favorite modern day actors, he plays one of the main characters in Ella Purnell, who you might recognize from Yellow Jackets. She was the one who died in the first season. Those are basically the two main characters. And Aaron Moten plays a guy who's in this exo armor that was a big part of the game as well. I'm enjoying it. It's good. It's not mind-blowing, but it's. I admire how faithful it is to its inspiration, and the sardonic aspects have been lent into here, and the show benefits for it. It's helping separate it from shows like Silo, and it's kind of similar to Twisted Metal in a lot of ways, but it's there's a sense that sort of anything can happen here, which both sort of helps and harms it, where it's maybe a bit frivolous, you might say, but while there's serious, intense stuff happening on screen. So balancing those two tones are a little bit tricky. I don't know if it's quite 100% got the balance right, but I am enjoying it and definitely going to make it to the end.
Thank you. Dom Corey in Talking TV. And I've seen this one promoted heavily too, Mr. Bates versus the Post Office on TVNZ Plus.
Yeah, this is a four times one hour drama of a real story that had a huge impact in the UK earlier this year about these terrible things that happened to sub-postmasters based on some software. It's this incredibly drawn-out legal process. The story takes place over 20 years. In fact, it's still going in the UK. And what's amazing about this show is the impact it's had on public interest in this case and public interest in miscarriages of justice. It's gone straight to the top in the UK. The Prime Minister has made resolutions to help the people involved. And the show articulates this complicated situation with clarity and conviction. It's not a super stylized or highly dramatic show, but the sense of injustice coming through is palpable, and you sort of knowing the impact that it had while you're watching it kind of enhances the viewing experience. This guy, Alan Bates, who's played by Toby Jones, one of the great modern British actors, he just quietly plugged away, not taking no for an answer. Over time, getting more and more people who were affected by this incident. People went to jail, people killed themselves, there was lives torn asunder, and he just kept pushing away. He was just a little British battler. Mm. And if those kind of notions appeal to you, then this show will appeal to you as well. It's not a super amazingly complicated telling of the story, but as far as understanding what happened and how awful it was and how these poor little genteel British people got affected, I was kind of blown away, frankly.
That's Mr. Bates versus the Post Office. Richard's listening on 2101. Jesse and Dom, I finished Fallout last night. It picks up in the second half of the season.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, thank you.
I am enjoying it. I do recommend it. It's very expensive show, big budget, and I just love that it's not afraid of its source.
One thing I've noticed recently, you can tell an expensive show by how little time the characters spend on in a particular set. Like, you know, they've had to build this entire set. They walk and they go, oh, should we go to lunch? Yeah, let's go to lunch. And they walk out again. You're like, wow.
Totally. It's like what I was saying about The Convert, remember? The New Zealand film where in New Zealand, where if we build a big, nice set, right, they'll stand in front of it for the whole movie. But then in The Convert, they don't do that.
Yeah.
You know, yeah.
Thank you.
Cheers, Jesse.
Dom Corey, our TV reviewer.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.